This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. This week, we're going to talk about getting the innovation mix correct. Now, what is it that I mean by the innovation mix? A lot of people may refer to this as being the same as the portfolio, but I have a very specific definition in mind. What I mean by the innovation mix is really the types or sources of where you get your innovation within your organization. Now, I break it down into three fundamental types. One is your organic innovation. This is the innovation that gets driven with your own R&D dollars, using your own resources within the four walls of your organization. The second type of mix is M&A, where you go off and you acquire. Now, M&A can be you acquire an entire company, or maybe you just go out and buy some patents, or you may go buy source code for something that you've integrated in. Some form of you acquired the ownership from something outside of your four walls, and now you've brought it into your organization. The third part of this innovation mix is what I refer to as co-innovation. Co-innovation is not just joint R&D with a key partner. Co-innovation has a very specific structure where there is some form of mutual dependency, meaning the resulting product depends on you and your partner to come together. Neither one of you could do it by yourself. So again, the three mixes: organic, things that you fund out of your own R&D processes, your own R&D dollars using your own employees. M&A, you go off and you either acquire a company or you acquire the ownership of some part of the innovation that you bring into your organization. And then the third is co-innovation. Now, why is this mix so important? Well, if you get the mix right, one, you greatly improve the likelihood of success for your overall innovation programs. And two, it reduces the risk. Now, for instance, organic innovation is very high risk. It's all about you, your dollars. You're carrying 100% of the burden of whatever it takes not only to do the research side, but to do the development side, the go-to-market, the shipping of the product. That entire value component around that innovation, very, very expensive, very high risk. Flip side is co-innovation allows you to have somewhat of a lower risk. You may do a 50-50 funding model with the co-innovation partner, and as a result, you've reduced your risk. So by understanding and managing the mix, organic, M&A, and co-innovation, you can actually control that portfolio in such a way that you can increase your likelihood of success while at the same time significantly reducing the risk. Now, not all three of these are all positive or all negative. There's pros and cons with each of the three mix types. For instance, in the case of organic, the pros are you have full control. It's all within the purview of your organization. Executives can choose to go forward. They can choose to stop. They can choose how much money they want to put into it. They can choose the timing based on the availability of resources. The other pro is ownership. You own it all. Whatever results from the innovation program, you own it all when it's all completed. Now, the flip side is the cons. The con for organic is it's high risk. You're carrying 100% of the burden. If your organization all of a sudden hits hard times financially, will they continue to fund those innovation programs? The other is that if you have a high mix of organic innovation, it starts to build up a culture of NIH, not invented here. The organization gets so ingrained with 100% of the innovation must be organic that any attempt of an idea or an innovation coming from the outside gets immediately rejected. So you have to be careful. If you're an organization that has a high level of organic innovation, you got to put a check in place to make sure that you're not burdening the organization from the standpoint with a culture of NIH. The other is, it's harder to kill. Innovations that are organic are hard to kill. Why? Because we get so emotionally wrapped up in the innovation. It's ours. We started it. The idea came within our organization. We may get clouded to the fact that, hey, what we thought was the original assumption around that innovation is still valid, and it may not be valid. You know, the market could change, technology can shift, competitors can enter or exit the market. And when you have 100% of that organic or a heavy mix of organic, you sometimes get a little clouded on whether or not this is something that I should still go forward with. And those projects, in many cases, are harder to kill. Now, M&A. If you're going outside to acquire your innovations, whether it be IP or whether it be acquiring entire companies, there's some pros and cons there. Pro, whatever you're acquiring, it's proven. You've got customers that may have revenue. The technology may already be fairly mature. Lots of pros. You can get it. You can do it very, very quickly. Much faster than if you wanted to start your own organic process of innovating around the same space. The other is you gain expertise. If you do the integration correctly, meaning if you do an M&A and you acquire a company or you're acquiring a team and you bring it into your organization, if you do a great job of integrating them in and bringing them in and nurturing them and supporting them, you gain a lot of expertise. Expertise that actually had developed that innovation that you're now going to get as part of that M&A. Now, M&A also has some cons. One is M&A in many cases is used by executives to hide their lack of innovation leadership. So rather than having a vision and laying out that vision, they wait. They wait until somebody else has solved the problems and then they swoop in and acquire the companies. They use M&A to basically be the primary funnel for their innovation. And that's the one challenge with M&A is one, it's very, very expensive. And two, you actually train your organization not to do innovation. M&A becomes one of those things that actually turns an organization against innovation, because then the philosophy is, we don't need to do the innovation. We don't need to take the risk. We're only going to bet on the sure things, and the sure things we can get by going out and acquiring. The problem is there becomes a very big lack in your ability to differentiate, because any of your competitors can go out and acquire like technologies, and in fact, they will get into a bidding war with you if you acquire a company that they're also interested in. And so all of a sudden, the cost models become very, very exorbitant. Typically, I've seen it where an organic idea that was proposed 5 years ago for, let's say, $100 million, 5 years later resulted in multi-billion dollars of acquisition costs needed to fill the gap. So had management understood the real need and the real opportunity 3, 4, 5 years out, they could have developed that technology for 1/10 the cost, but they chose to wait and bet on the sure thing. So there's a pro in the fact that it is a sure thing. The negative to M&A is it's very expensive, and it basically allows leadership to hide what it is they're really focused on the innovation. Now, the third area, co-innovation. The pros are it's a shared risk. You have a partner that you're working with. In this case, you know, the co-innovation programs that I've put in place and I have run have all been on a 50-50 funding model. Now, the other pro is it's if it's structured right, you have a much higher likelihood of success. I've seen where co-innovation projects not only are half the cost, but you almost have 2 to 3 times more likelihood of actually delivering the idea. Why? Because you have some external validation. In a case of organic, you're constantly needing to re-justify to the leadership team the value of the original idea. In this case, with a co-innovation partner, you've got an external partner. You've got an external vote. You've got somebody else's dollars being put in, and it may not be a lot of dollars, but the fact that somebody else is willing to put a dollar on the table takes out a lot of the discussion inside of your organization on whether or not that's a good idea or a bad idea. Now, there are some cons with co-innovation. One of them is it takes a long time to get started. You've got to find that right project between you and that co-innovation partner to be willing to get it started, to get it up out of the dirt. And those tend to take months and months and months, and that can be frustrating for some innovation teams. The other is you're giving up control. You can't make the calls all yourself. You just can't say go, stop, go left, go right, because now you've got a partner involved. So there are pros and cons to the co-innovation, but I have found that the co-innovation, from a standpoint of increasing the likelihood of success, is a great approach. Now, one of my pieces of guidance in this whole process is that when you look at the mix, don't focus on one of them. I've seen organizations that have been heavily focused on organic. And again, what happens with an organization that's focused purely on organic innovation is they build up this culture of not invented here. Now, this can be not only an entire organization, but it could be a team within the organization, a team that only focuses on organic innovation. You'll find that team to be very resistant to any form of innovation coming from any part of the organization, such as another team. In the case of M&A, now, M&A is a great opportunity to plug the holes or plug the gaps in areas of expertise. But a word of warning about M&A is don't use it as a shield. Don't use it as a way to mask the fact that the organization is not really focused on innovation. If you're going to do an M&A strategy and that's going to be your strategy, don't go out and say we're innovators and then 100% of your innovations come from M&A. Be honest. Be transparent. Otherwise, you're going to you cause a lot of friction and a lot of angst within the organization to be wondering, well, why am I developing technologies if all management's going to do is go off and buy something rather than funding and supporting the internal programs? And third is co-innovation. It's a great opportunity. The problem is you got to be out way, way ahead of the need. You can't say, okay, we're going to do this co-innovation and then put something in place in 2 weeks. Those putting together well-structured co-innovation programs with key partners can take upwards of 6 months to a year before you even get started. And so you have to, in the case of co-innovation, be looking way beyond what you normally would be looking at when you're just rapidly starting up new programs and projects. And then the other piece is that you want to make sure that when you look at the mix, you don't get sucked into where you're personally comfortable. Maybe you're the person who really likes to drive organic and you think M&A is bad, 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 bad. Or you've never done co-innovation, you've done kind of these little joint R&D things and nothing ever comes of it, but you've never really put together a true, real co-innovation project, then you're fearful of it and you won't do it. What's important is you need to have some of all three. You need to have some organic going, you need to have some M&A going, and you need to have some co-innovation going. When you have programs going in all three of those areas, then that's where you get the maximum likelihood of return and you can reduce the risk. Now, I'm not saying it needs to be a third, a third, a third. Each of your organizations need to figure out what that right mix is, but you need to have the mix. If you don't have the mix, then you're just going to, you know, basically expose yourself either to a high risk of failure or to a lower return given which approach that you take. So, now, I've only covered at a very high level the three areas, right? Organic M&A and co-innovation. In upcoming podcasts, the next series of podcasts, I'm going to go into each one of those in detail. So, what is a really well-structured co-innovation program? Two, how do you do a good job at M&A involving innovation, and how do you bring that into your organization? And three, how do you structure organic innovations to make sure that they really have a high likelihood of success? So again, the next series of podcasts, I'm going to go into all three in detail. So probably the best option you have is if you are not a subscriber, if you're listening to this off of the website or through some download feature, best option is to subscribe. You can subscribe over at iTunes. You can subscribe directly through the podcast RSS feed. It's on the main page at philmckinney.com. But I would suggest you subscribe so to make sure that you get the next series of podcasts as I go into more details and give you the structures that have worked well for me that I think will translate very well into your organization. And with that, let me wrap this up. Before I go, though, I want to remind you the book is out, Beyond the Obvious, Killer Questions That Spark Game-Changing Innovation. It's available in your bookstores. It's also available for download worldwide. You can download the Kindle version and the Nook version, and the audiobook now is out. So you can also go out to your favorite audiobook site and download the audio version. If you've happened to have purchased the book, could I ask a favor and could you post a review? Go back to the site where you bought the book and post a comment, post a review about the book. Also, join in the conversation. I now have pages up for the book, specifically over at Facebook and at Google+. So come on over, join into the conversation, add your thoughts about what you think about the book. Also, now, the book is pretty complete. Over half the book is focused on the killer questions. But there were 6 killer questions that did not make it into the book. The 6 killer questions and the sparking points that go with them, I've produced into a PDF document. You can go over to beyondtheobvious.com. Lower right-hand corner, you'll see a big orange box. Put your information in, and I'll email you the PDF that contains the 6 killer questions that did not make it into the book. One, just to give you, so you have the complete set of the questions, so you have the book plus this PDF. So again, go to beyondtheobvious.com, lower right-hand corner, add your information, and you'll get the PDF document with the 6 questions. As you know, if you've been a long-time listener to this podcast, the reason I do these podcasts is to pay it forward. I was the beneficiary of a phenomenal mentor, Bob Davis, who took me under his wing and really did the process of giving me the full skill sets and the encouragement and the direction that I needed earlier in my career. When I asked Bob how would I pay it back, how could I pay him back for all the time he put in to me early in my career, he said I could not pay him back. And the way for me to pay it back is to pay it forward. Help others, mentor others as they are getting started or as they're established in their careers. Help share the knowledge and the expertise that I've been able to gain with the success that I've had. So the podcast I do for free. All of the content is available to you. And I do this purely as my way of paying it forward. All I ask is that you tell others. Tell others about the podcast. Tell others about the book. Help promote what I'm trying to do here as far as sharing this knowledge, the importance of innovation and creativity to your economy and to your career. So just all I ask is tell others. If you have thoughts, feedbacks, questions, or topics for future podcasts that you would like for me to cover, please send them to feedback@philmckinney.com. Also, feel free to become join the fan pages over on Facebook. Also, I'm on LinkedIn. If you are a listener, I will more than willing accept your linking request. All I ask is in the message, tell me that you're a listener to the podcast. I literally get hundreds of LinkedIn requests each week, and I tend not to accept those unless they say specifically in the message that they're a listener to the podcast. So if you're a listener, feel free. Go over. You can put a link request in. Just put it in the message that you're a listener, and I'll immediately accept that. With that, I hope this information was useful. Think about your mix. Think about how you can structure your mix within your organization, and this applies whether you're a small company or a large organization. And next week, we're going to get into more details about each of the types of the mix so that you can start to put together the right structure and the right organization to support a great innovation approach. And with that, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.